Well, good afternoon, everybody. Good morning. Good evening. This is Cooking with Benjamin, where we look at disasters that could be on WordPress. So we are looking at WP Bakery Page Builder, and there's several reasons why we're going to be doing that. The first one is because of the origin of this plugin, there is a very good chance if you ever get clients that already have a pre-built site and you are just going to rebuild their site or remanage their site or optimize their site or anything like that, there is a high percentage that they have WP Bakery on their website. Part of the reason why is WP Bakery was really, and again, I'm going to talk about a difference between two different plugins, which are basically the same. The Visual Composer plugin and WP Bakery were exactly the same. On Code Canyon, it was really WP Bakery Visual Page Builder. That was what it was called, Visual Composer. And they had a licensing agreement that basically allowed anybody who created themes on ThemeForest to bundle WP Bakery with the theme, which meant there were so many dev studios that were just pumping out websites for clients and not really managing, not really optimizing, not really doing anything, just creating something quickly and putting it out there. And they all had this WP Bakery Visual Composer plugin on it. And so that's why I want to spend a little bit of time walking you through this so you can see some of the pitfalls. Maybe you don't fall into some of those pitfalls because you know what's going on. And so that's one of the big reasons, because it's already on so many sites. And the second reason we're going to spend some time talking about this is because there are now two different competing plugins that both have the same code base. That's right. We have WP Bakery. And again, when it was released, and the product, which still is on Code Canyon, is called WP Bakery. When it was originally released, it was WP Bakery Visual Composer. Well, the developers kind of had an infight between their two companies, and they kind of split, but they're both based on the exact same source code. So we had WP Bakery staying on Code Canyon and Visual Composer split off. Well, since they're both the same code base, we're perfectly fine still looking at WP Bakery, which you have a higher chance of coming in contact with. There is a page on Visual Composer that talks about, hey, here's the differences and about slightly why it split. But I'll point out the big difference just in case. Now, we're not going to talk about Visual Composer today other than this little introduction section. One of the things they did is they created a theme builder which dealt with headers, footers, custom layouts, and dynamic content. WP Bakery sort of has that, but in a different type of setting. So if somebody tells you, well, Visual Composer has all these other things, keep in mind that it's the same code base. And at the core of that, everything is a short code. I'll show you that if you haven't seen these in a long time. So let's take a look at WP Bakery to get started. And I'm going to hopefully walk us through certain things. And I'm going to try and get myself stuck like I did in my preparation for this webinar so that you can see the logic or the non-logic of this plugin. So as we've done with all the other page builders up to now, we take a look at some of the settings panels. And this is a little bit different because we have a very old school concept of disabling responsive content or enabling responsive content. Rather than using media queries or handling responsive like we should, there's basically just an on-off switch for WP Bakery. It's a lazy way of handling responsive things, but it gives you that option. Then we jump down here and you say, disable Gutenberg editor. I'm going to show you why this is just ridiculous right now. Because when you use WP Bakery, it's going to disable Gutenberg. And then once you disable Gutenberg, it's going to give you the option to re-enable it on top of it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, be prepared for your brain just to leak out on your computer. It doesn't make sense. Then we have these wonderful default templates for your post types. And you might be thinking, maybe isn't this like templating thing? Isn't this for like archive stuff? No. Basically, it will give you a starting point for your movie's custom post type or your post's custom post type. But you can only have one type of starting piece. So it is very limiting. Now, the role manager, very simple. Who can do what, and what do you want to turn on or off? The design options is another old school way of handling design or setting global settings. If you click this, and again, you then would have to go through and handle a bunch of the colors and the media query breakpoints if you want to change those. So that's more of like a global setting. The custom CSS is an absolute old school thing. And again, this stems from probably one of the first versions of WP Bakery, back when it was still WP Bakery Visual Composer. And why anybody would just simply dump CSS code right in the admin area of a WordPress website is beyond me, because why not just use your style sheet of the theme or use some other location to add your code? Putting it here with zero options of conditional placement, conditional loading, optimization, just doesn't make any sense. And then we have a short code mapper. This is basically a requirement inside WP Bakery, because everything WP Bakery does, whether it's a row, a column, an element, a text, everything is wrapped with a short code. It's massive, which means if I want to include Gravity Forms or some other type of plugin that I'm using to extend my WordPress website that uses a short code, I have to map that short code here so that WP Bakery knows, okay, that's a valid short code because I live in short codes. So that this is some extra stuff that, hey, why? All right. So we did this. We'll get to the grid builder in just a moment, because I don't want to reveal this grid builder area just yet. So let's go and take a look at creating a WP Bakery page. Now, when we are presented with this, everything looks exactly the same. It looks like Gutenberg, as I said. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do our test baking. I'm going to just publish this just so that it remembers the title. All right. Now, once I've done this, I am introduced with a button that says WP Bakery Page Builder. Click this. Notice how it just got rid of the Gutenberg editor. All right. It got rid of the Gutenberg editor, but now it gives me back end and front end. Basically, it's kind of the same thing, same type of admin bars, same type of editing things. We'll take a look at both, but there's also a problem of having both, because if you don't remember to hit update or save in like two or three places and you switch back before you've done that, you lose everything. And then you have to rebuild that page. I'll try and reproduce it for you if I remember. Okay, so let's start with the backend editor. Now remember, we did not tell it to turn off Gutenberg. So we just created a page and then said, hey, use WP Bakery. And all right, it's going to now use the classic editor, or so we think. So now I'm going to use the backend editor. Where did the classic editor go? Well, it's one of those weird things that I have to click at least twice to get to a location where I want to actually do something. So then we're presented with actually a fairly streamlined, and I'll give them credit for it, minus a really dumb option. So the streamlined thing is we can simply go and add an element, and this could be like a row, a column, or a text area, or some other widget, or some, you know, pricing layout table, something, a button. Or we can click on templates. I'm going to introduce you to the frustrations of templates. Let's click on this because I want to start with a template. Okay, now just so you know that this is a, if we were on the front end, this sometimes drags and drops, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it goes full width, sometimes it doesn't. Do I have any templates? I technically do. I have two templates that I've already, quote, downloaded to the site, but they don't show up. I don't know how. I mean, I can maybe look for it. No, that's to save the current layout. So I can't look. Why should I save a template when I haven't done anything yet? And my site does have two templates, but they don't show up. You get where I'm going here? All right, let's go to the template library. Okay. Oh, wait, here's my templates. That's what I was looking for. Shouldn't they be in my templates? No, they're over here in template library. But I'm going to show you what we can do. We're going to go in here. Here's our template library. Oh, great, great. We can look at a whole bunch of things. There is absolutely no rational reason why things are grouped in certain areas other than, okay, here's an about page. Click that. Oh, did I just download it? I did, but I just wanted to actually look at it. Okay, now I can look at it. So I had to download it first before I looked at it. That's not true for all of them. Sometimes you click and it gives you a preview. Sometimes you click on it and it downloads it. But look what it did. Now I'm previewing. Okay, that's our about page. It says it's downloaded. So it should be in my templates, right? Nope. Go to template library. Oh, I have to exit the template library. Oh, now I see it. Here's my about page. Oh, so I guess it just added all my stuff because I just wanted to click on it to get a preview, but no, simply clicking on that, even though, let me show you, even though when I go to my template library, there should be a plus to add it here. I have to go all the way over here to preview my template. But when I preview the template in the back end, I don't actually see the visual look. Why? Let me just jump back over here, access the library. This is the visual. Why can't you show me the visual if I'm previewing something? I don't care about previewing the markup and structure and basically short code building. So hopefully where's our frustrations going. All right, let me exit out because we do have our item now inserted into our area where we have basically just our, looks like there's a custom heading, there's a text block. It does make a lot of sense when you look at a number of these settings because all I have to do is hover and it's going to tell you it's a single image, it's a text block. When I click on text block, I have the ability to edit and I can duplicate and I can move it. But let's just edit. What happens is it pops up a window. And now we are operating within our amazing design options of WP Bakery, where I just have a classic editor. And for some reason, every single text block has an animation option. Okay, great. And we can assign an ID or add class names to it. And then are you ready for this one? What do you guys think happens when you click on a gear? Any idea what happens, should happen to a gear? We should get settings, right? No, if you click on a gear inside the item, it saves it as an element. That's not what the gear user experience has taught us. That should be open up advanced settings or something like that. No, I didn't want to save this. Why is this gear saving stuff? Oh, but okay, here's my design options. Let's get some advanced design options. And you get nothing more than basically options for creating your box model, CSS box model. So here's one of the problems. Yes, it's simple, but anybody who has any desire to do something correctly in terms of understanding certain things should be pixels, certain things should be in the measurement of EM, certain things should be vertical heights or vertical widths. Some things should be in points. And there's all sorts of reasons why you're, or percentages. There's going to be reasons why you use different types of CSS measurements. But if I'm thinking I want a border around my little text here, okay, I'll start here. I'm going to create a border color. Got it. And we'll do solid. Great. Oh, border. Oh, this is getting easy. So I got a border radius, but I want to do a border. A very old school system of understanding padding, borders, and margins simply just have boxes. There is no way for me to enter one item if I simply just want 20 or a 5-pixel border going all the way around my item. No way to do that. I have to actually make sure I'm in the border area and I click 5. And if I just do that, okay, what's happening? Well, there is no real-time update. I actually have to hit save change and nothing happened. All right, let's go back to design options. Oh, what happened? Oh, let's restore the backup. Remember I told you things don't happen if you don't save every single thing? Because we had just added a template to this area. We never clicked update. So even though I was sitting here editing on this, it didn't know that that stuff was saved. So if we go back here, then we do our 5 pixels, quickly run all these things, solid, red, border radius of 15 pixels, and then save. Then I come over here and refresh. Why isn't it showing? Because it should show. All right, so let's go and do another thing. I'm going to update this. And let's jump on the front end. Maybe we can see it there on the front end. So let's go back to our text block. Why isn't that there? It's the same thing. I have saved this so many different times. And solid, 15 pixels, save change. Oh, and now it works. You see the frustration? Even though I did it on the back, I saved the things, I did everything, some of the elements only work on the front end. Some of the elements only work on the back end. But guess what? I did not tell it whether I wanted 5 pixels or percentage or vertical height. I simply put 5. I'm not given the option of adding a measurement unit in here. And that's my entire design options. All right, let's go back to our, let me update this. Oh, actually, watch this. If I simply, it looks it's like it's done. If I go to the back end editor, okay, this time it gave me, sometimes this will not show up. So let's go ahead and we'll successfully update. Great. Now we can go back to the back end editor. All right, here we are. But we don't get the visual. So let's just check and see if it's still there. Okay, it is still there. But we don't have any visual indication. So for anybody who actually receives a site that is powered by WP Bakery, Remember, you have front end and back end. All right, now let's jump over here because I showed you the little template issues. Now let's take a look at how we add content. And we click this item. And we have things with color, without color, with just simple gray. There's no standards with how a icon should appear. We do have row, we have text block, and we have a section. We have things that you would normally have, but then you have this, a separator. Ooh, but what we want to do a zigzag separator. Oh, what about a separator with text? Why can't you just have one separator and then give the options in a dropdown or something else to do a zigzag or add text? Or you don't have to have all of these items. So we have these elements where we can add raw HTML, raw JavaScript, and I'll get with the post grid here in a moment, but I need to finish up a few other things to walk you through. So we have all sorts of elements, and then it tries to split them down, social, WordPress, widgets, and they still include deprecated items, meaning they no longer support it, but you can still use it. Why even have a Google Plus button when that doesn't even exist? Remove it from your site. No longer support it. In an update to your WP Bakery website, why not just no longer publish that on the front end if somebody has a social icon for Google Plus? All right. Now, did anybody see the weird thing? Remember how I said you can turn off Gutenberg? Oh, hey, guess what? We can insert Gutenberg editor. All right, let's do that. All right, let's just save the changes. So now we've got a Gutenberg editor. Well, how do I add Gutenberg items? This is where it gets really weird. Okay, I'm going to go back to my editor. And I have to now click this, and it will open up an overlay. You can kind of see on the side, this is basically an overlay. It's an overlay of a Gutenberg editor where now I can sit here. And again, they've got the spacing all wrong. I should have my menu item here, but it's blocked out. All right, we'll deal with that. Let's just come down here. And now we can do what we would normally do with Gutenberg and add our items and then do exactly what we would be running. And then when we update it, we have to save the changes here, and whatever we had done shows up here. Except it doesn't, because that other field, text field, didn't show up. So even if we then update this and go on to the front end, oh, did you guys see that? Hopefully your eyes were able to quickly see all the short codes. So before I go to the front end, let me burn your eyes. Click back to Gutenberg editor. And it wraps a classic editor, but here is all of our short codes. It just exists here in the content. Then, ready for this one? Let's go back to the page builder. Okay, that worked. There are times where you're going to switch back and it won't know how to interpret those short codes. You might actually click back. And if that happens, just simply click back and forth. It will eventually register so you can get back to the screen. Earlier yesterday, I actually had it where I clicked back, and because of all the short codes simply moving between editors, I wasn't able to visually see what was going on. All right. So this is how we build items. Yes, we can come in here. We can create our row. Then in our row, we can edit our row. We're editing outside of the actual row. We have an item. Here, we can do columns, but I thought I should add a column. Nope, you never add a column here. You always customize a row by turning a row into columns. You can collapse the item once you are done. And that's what we do. This is also similar to Site Origin's backend method of semi-visual, semi-short code, semi-block row layout. It can be a hassle. All right, let's do one other thing. And this is probably going to be your biggest issue if you have client work. We're going to create a new page. And this time, let's go a, we'll call this, I don't know why I'm restoring a backup because I said new page. So I have, that's weird. Most likely a WP Bakery issue. All right, let's create a listing of movies because we're going to use our listing of movies. All right, let's go to WP Bakery. Oh, well, don't go there because you'll lose your title. All right, fine, we'll publish this. Go to our WP Bakery. All right, let's make life a little bit easier. We'll go to the front end. Now, here is one of the big problems. Not a problem. This is just a weird UX thing. The top WP Bakery area, and this is the same bar that you'd have on the back end and the front end. We have the ability to add a new element. Perfect. We have the ability to use templates. Great. Now, let's take a look at their starting point. We have add element and we have add template. Perfect. Why is this random add text block here? If you're going to use this as a upper level menu system, it needs to be uniform. If you want add text block to be used all the time, boom, put it up there. Why? Because my add element is right here. There's that text block. That's what it's trying to do. It just seems very strange that we put something in there. All right, so let's add an element and we'll get super fancy and you'll see the amazing query editor. We are going to, oh, look, hey, it's actually working. It added all sorts of content in here because it's right now, it's our data source is the posts. Narrowing the data source is interesting because you can simply start typing words and if there is a category with that word, it'll use that. If there is a tag, if there's a custom taxonomy value, it will use that. But there's a problem. What if you have a category called movies, and then maybe you have some custom fields that might have the word movie as a value, and maybe you have a tag that has a movies for something else in another location? You can't just differentiate because it's simply going to grab that. And if you have multiple ones, it doesn't know whether it's going to grab from the category movie or a custom meta field movie. Just putting that out there. All right. So we do have the ability to display items. We do have the ability to show a filter. The filter is like a sorting thing that will show up here. Like this. See how there's a filter. So it is a fairly robust post grid setting system. But when we look at our items, again, this is your data setting. This is more of like the loop query that you would be dealing with and the filter, how you change the filter. But here's our item design. So this is, you have a whole bunch of different things. We have a basic grid, we have a masonry grid, a media grid, a masonry media grid. So I can look at things scale with rotation, fade with side content, vertical flip, like click this and save the changes. Vertical flip. All right. Hey, that's something. But what if I want to change it? Because, you know, I need to be able to put the post date here. All I have is the title and the content. What if I want a date on the flip? I would either have to create my new template, which is an absolute mess, or modify the selected. When I click the modify selected, it's going to open up a new tab and take you to the grid builder. Does this make sense to anybody? Because guess what? This is this exact grid. That's right. The visual effect of a flip, an image, title, content, that this is it. That is the visual. Where's the picture? Why is there a top, middle, and a bottom? Because there should just be a picture. Okay, well, normal. Let's click this, edit. Okay, your picture is the featured image. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But if you've never done that, you'd be clicking around here. What's on this? What? There's nothing here. How? I don't even see a visual. So then we click on hover. Oh, there's my post title and post excerpt. But wait, why didn't I have post excerpt and post content and all these post title, all these quote dynamic elements when I was building in the regular WP Bakery Builder? Well, that's because in the grid builder, that's the only place you can modify post grids or post layouts, those four or five widgets in WP Bakery that will run a query and fetch your content out. But when I'm in here and I edit, we got another big problem. Why? Here, let's go ahead and add what I said that date. So let's underneath, and I'm just going to put it in whatever this middle thing is. It still doesn't make sense why we've got three elements on here. And it also doesn't make sense why we have other things going around here. All right, so let's append this column and let's find a post date. Oh, perfect, post date. Let's put that in there. So do I want to add a link to anything? No. Is it going to be a div? Yep. Oh, a class name. Okay, design options. But what if I want to add something like published on and then the post date? You can't do it. Oh, so well, that doesn't help. Well, maybe what if I use like just a text area? Can I pull dynamic information? There, text block. Where's the dynamic? No, you can't do that. All right, we'll close that. Let's try. Look at the post style. Could we add something before? No, you can't add anything before. You can't add something. Which gets really frustrating because you really don't get the option of creating something unique and fleshing things out without getting into the page builder, without getting into the themes template file. That's what I was trying to say. So this, I hope everybody understands, this is a wonderful view of this, and that's how you're supposed to be able to jump back and forth to visually understand when you don't get any visual references. Sure, I can hit preview, and then we're presented with that. Okay, but that now it popped me into the editor backend. Go back to the builder, but this is where I'm supposed to do my work. I can't work in a visual environment when I actually want to design something. This is WP Bakery. If you run into this, you are going to be clicking on lots of things simply to try and find a location. I'm going to try and give you two or three rules of thumb that will help some of you. First, click on if you're trying to figure out how to edit something or do something or modify something, click on every single one of these pencil marks. That's the only way you're going to get and maybe try and find the location of whatever it is you're trying to edit. The second thing, you will find that even though other page builders will give you options to add something, do something, manage something, design something, PageBuild WP Bakery will not. So the only way you can fine grain your design, let's say you don't have the option of changing this whole site, you have to simply optimize. Your best solution is this: add class names and then go write your own CSS in the style sheet. That may be literally your only option. Now, there is one other location that you could assign CSS. Remember when we looked at that element and I clicked on the grid icon? And that simply just saved the element. Oh, but what if I click on the area here? Oh, well, that actually will open the element grid setting. It's the same icon will not do the same thing in different locations of this plugin. And that is where we are. Everything is short code, which means it's not optimized. It's very hard to cache. And so while you can temporarily try and do some your own CSS and click on every single one of these pencils to try and find a setting, your best bet is to slowly work on getting rid of Visual Page Builder. It is a mess. All right, let's take a look at one more thing to also point out the mess. Let's jump over here, edit with the Visual Page Builder. We're going to just use the front end editor since it's a little bit easier. We're going to add a template. And let's go grab a full page of something. All right, let's download this template and add it. Oh, I'm purposely doing this, just so you know. Why won't you let me download it? All right, let's go to the backend editor. Add the template. Template library. Access the library. Oh, failed to load. Why is it there? All right, let's try this. All right, now that one downloaded. So now we can go to template library, go back here, full page starter layout, and it adds everything here. So when we are on the visual, the front end, oh, let me publish this first. When we're on the front end and we can actually see the design of the page, again, I still have short codes, the sidebars, and I hover over items, you really can't see some of the row settings. I click on this and it opens up a setting. And then when I click X, where you'd think it would be close, nope, that deleted. So that, you see what just happened? We'll do that again. So I opened the row, and you might be thinking, naturally, this closes that, so I can open this. Nope, there is no close when you open the edit option. You just simply go click on something else to enable or disable. You're going to experience that frustration. Use the forward back item. Second thing is right click does nothing, doesn't do anything. It's really hard to get your row settings. And part of the reason is look at the delay in, if I do this, it's showing all the setting items and it unselects something slower than many of us work. But we have to go through and deal with each one of these settings. Notice there's a major problem here. Look at that. This is a text block that I'm hovering over. I want to edit that text block. Where's the text? It's there. Did you know that? It's white text. There. Well, it's white text on a turquoise, whatever color background. But if I simply open this, not going to work. So if you know the issues, you may have to click multiple times, try to test things, jump over to the text editor to see, all right, well, that makes sense because there's a span color FFF. Now, here's the funny thing. Well, I don't know if it's funny at all. Inside the text block, it will use valid HTML and CSS inline styles. But on the front end of the website, in the actual page, it somehow converts some of this to short codes. Why not just leave it in standard styling, inline styling? All right. So this is one of the frustrations. Make sure you just click on whatever pencil you need. You're going to, not every icon operates the same way. There is no real page builder or theme builder where I can sit there and, let's leave that. I can't go to a, even if I use the grid builder, I can't assign this grid builder to a certain location. I can't say, okay, this grid builder needs to only be used on the archive pages for movies. None of that conditional logic concept exists in WP Bakery. And while Visual Composer is better than WP Bakery and what it's done, it is still the same code base. It is still short codes. It still has non-optimizable sections. So hopefully this helped to look at this. You ignore all of the fancy marketing. Oh, you can do all sorts of stuff. It's so powerful. It's not. Even the lowest level regular WordPress page builder is better than this and opens the door for you to do so much more. All right. Well, we got one more webinar on page building where we're going to look at the tool set. I will probably end up pre-recording that, getting that out to you later this week, either tonight or tomorrow, so that we can start next week with a brand new series of webinars, getting into some advanced CSS stuff, getting back into Voce Press. How do I build something? I've got a whole bunch of things with Zion Builder and a few other builder plugins that we will look at. So hopefully this, nobody is going, oh my goodness, I just got a client that has WP Bakery and I am going to hate my life. If you can still maintain a site with this, but I really would encourage you to consider, if you, maybe you're considering a client who has that, there needs to be a higher cost because of, and you can call it legacy code management. If their site is modern, you don't need to apply the legacy code management add-on fee. But I would always have, the same way you have e-commerce sites are going to charge more, I would do the same thing with a site that has WP Bakery on it. All right. Well, take care, everybody. Hope you have a great rest of your Thursday, and I'll be in touch.